Hello, party people, and welcome to another episode of Cast Party, the official podcast of Shea's Performing Arts Center. My name is Rita Sirianni, and with me today, I have my co-party host, Juliana Tracy.
Hi.
And in this corner, Ken Lazuski.
Well, I'm really nervous now to touch the mic at all. This is take two, and I just touched it as I said that. I'm sorry.
Every time I give you a little bit of feedback on how to work the mic, you do the opposite.
I need that piece of tape.
The spike tape?
The spike tape.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Word of the day.
Word of the day.
Thank you.
This week is a very special Cast Party episode as we are welcoming not one, but two new guests to the party. Today we have the co-founders of Ansari Saxon Productions, whose inaugural production of Dreamgirls the Musical will take place this fall, this very fall, at Shea's 710 from September 10th to the 28th. Get your tickets now, people. Welcome to the Cast Party, Naila Ansari and Karen Saxon.
Ready to party.
Thank you guys for being our party guests today. We're so excited to have you. We're so excited for Dreamgirls. It's going to be fabulous, which is my buzzword of the week. I keep using it.
Yeah, Rita's using that quite a bit today.
Because it will be
fabulous. Yeah. There's no other word to
I'm
use.
I'm embodying the Dreamgirls.
I'll see myself fabulous. I do this every episode. I walk out and walk back in, and I keep coming back.
I mean, we can also talk about being a diva.
Dina.
Yeah.
Oh. One of the dreams.
That's one of the dreams' names?
Yep. And you're like them.
This is going to be a party tonight.
Yes, this is going to be an education session.
Sip that water and act like something else.
The dreamettes.
Naila and Karen, I would love for you guys to just tell us a little bit about yourselves and your presence in the Buffalo arts community, if that'd be cool.
How much time you got?
As much as you'd like, guys.
Yes. We'll try to make it quick. I'll start from Buffalo, New York. Grew up in Buffalo as an artist, and really the foundation of where I am today. Started at UGMA. We'll always shout out Lorna C. Hill.
Yes, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. And I danced at Ms. Barber School of Dance, Barb Denny's, and David D. Marie. Mm-hmm. As I was growing up, went to Point Park University Conservatory of the Arts.
Point Park is legit, guys.
Yes, it is crazy. In a good way, but also like in a very serious conservatory way.
In my head, you're like center stage.
Yes. Seriously, I always say that movie Whiplash is like.
Oh, that too.
On par. Love my teachers. They were never that bad, though. But yeah. Then I went on to dance for August Wilson Center Dance Ensemble, Little Washington. Dancing, and I also worked in casting at BET and a host of other different things that brings you into the world.
She's an icon, people.
I used to also work at. I never said this was funny because I was talking to my colleagues this morning, and they were like, "Girl, you was on Dance Moms, are you mine?" So yes, I used to work for Abby
Lee when
I
was
No way.
So I was on a few episodes of Dance Moms back in the day. That is a secret that I actually don't share very often, and I had to change my social media because at the time all these little kids were following. And I was like, "Oh,
oh no, yeah." My sister is probably one of those. That's a little crazy, random, so cool story
that I, and at the time I never really shared much because, you know, when you're trying to be a really professional, like, you don't want to be on reality TV, and then like the kids find you anyway. So I have students that end up now, like, that I have at Buffalo State, they're like, we were binge watching Dance Moms and we saw you on an episode of Dance Moms, and I was like, so yeah,
I'm gonna go back and rewatch Dance Moms.
Yeah, early episodes. I was there right when it started. I was teaching at the studio. I was their technical
teacher.
That's
insane.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
What was the quote you were doing of Abby Lee the other day?
Oh my god. And suddenly I hear this agitating, grating voice.
That is Abby.
Yeah. I was using it to describe Ken.
And I keep coming back.
Glutton. Thank you.
I love you all so much.
Okay. Oh my gosh. And Karen, can you give us a little background on you too?
Sure. I started my musical training also Buffalo, New York, Buffalo born, Buffalo
raised, yeah. all that mm-hmm. good stuff, at the Buffalo Arts and Music School under the tutelage of Donald L. Hilliard, who was superintendent of music, well, used to be called then superintendent of music in the Buffalo Public Schools, and of Alfred Jarrett, when I went to high school, who was also supervisor of music. I think it was supervisor by the time he got it. In the Buffalo Public Schools, TV credits, not so much. I think I was 17 when I was on an episode of CBS Sundays.
Sunday morning?
Yeah. I was not Sunday morning. I was not featured, though. Well, I was featured, but it wasn't about me. It was about the New York State Summer School for the Arts because I had obtained a scholarship, a full scholarship, as an accompanist.
Oh, my God.
So I'm a trained accompanist, vocalist, choral director.
Oh, my God.
The things.
Which is unheard of, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, in musical directing. Because normally it's just like one or the other. And I didn't know that. So, you know, I just thought all music directors, like, they were all, like, you know, vocal to play piano.
Right. You thought they were all as mm-hmm. talented and well-versed as Karen?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, they're not.
Nope. And I do. I've begun to embrace my marketing as one-stop shopping. got my undergrad from Buffalo State. I'm mm-hmm. a proud Buffalo State alum.
Yeah.
And the Bachelor of Arts in Vocal Performance, and now I'm on the voice faculty at Buffalo State teaching voice. I have, what else? There's, you know, I don't talk
the
about
Philharmonic.
Myself.
The Philharmonic. She never says anything
about
herself.
I don't talk about myself.
Ever.
So, I'm on the board of trustees of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. Okay. I'm also on the board of directors for Starring Buffalo.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Love Drew Fornarola and the crew. Those are my peoples.
Shout out.
I also cannot embrace the work of musical director without shouting out Lorna C. Hill because she taught me how to hear musicals. So any show that I cast from the voice out.
Nice.
You know, there's what, and I leave the what the looks like to other people. That's great. But here, when I hear Effie, this is what I hear. So that kind of thing. So very grateful for her presence in my life, and to Ujima, of course. I'm also the owner and administrator of the Thomas T. Edwards Funeral Home in Buffalo, New York. I do that. I'm also the minister of music of the First Shiloh Baptist Church. I'm trying to think of who else.
And you're the music teacher at City Honors.
Oh, yeah. I am the music teacher at City Honors.
Casual.
But again, it really is. If you could create a meme for me, it would be, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that.
Everything I do. So I don't think about the... Oh, I'm also the director. One of the directors of the Buffalo United Community Choir. And I affectionately call it the BPO Gospel Choir. Very excited about that. So I think that's all the things. Thank you.
I got you. Yeah. Nakia have always has to tell me to say stuff. So
all right, we'll see you next episode.
Oh my God, you guys! I mean, this kind of shows for folks at home. Western New York has like such crazy talented people.
Yeah,
great.
Sure. Yes.
And you always know the sign of a good artist when they wear so many different hats.
Yeah.
And that is you guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
My gosh! And yeah, quick shout out to Nakia Campbell, our producer for Dreamgirls. She's in the room with us today, and it's awesome to have her and have this production coming
wonderful
up.
Shay's colleague
and a wonderful Shay's colleague.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Funny because Nikki, when we were first like meeting the cast, Nikki was like, "Y'all need to say something because y'all never say anything about yourselves." And I was like, "I don't really know what." She's like, "Y'all need to do like a little flex."
You guys sent sent our we got their bios.
Your bios
insane. Are great.
You can read those. Those would be a lot better than what Karen and I just told you.
You're right.
No, what you guys said was fabulous.
That was better than the bios. I like this better than the bios. Not that the bios are bad, but I love this better.
I love hearing it, right.
Yeah.
I loved you guys recalling it as you were going through it, because that's usually when I'm trying to talk about myself, too. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Rita's been in movies. Rita, you've been on TV or movie. You have movie creds. You were like a dead body or something, or is that what you wanted?
I'm working towards that.
My
first and only movie credit, well, I have a couple of short ones, but my first and only one is I did voiceover for a Russian hockey film when I was a study abroad.
As one does, right?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Were you studied abroad in Russia?
I did.
Duh.
What?
I'll tell you off air.
We need all the tea.
We are going to happy hour 5 o'clock. Join us and be like, we get the whole story.
All right. So, Dreamgirls is such an iconic show. Would you guys be able to share with us what drew you to tell this musical story right now?
Ooh. I think the landscape of what's happening with women. Mm-hmm. Is a huge draw for this story. One of the things that Lorna used to always say, because she was also my colleague at Performing Arts. We both taught at Performing Arts together. And she used to say it to the kids all the time. You know, a lot of this stuff is just fluff, but I try to give it meaning. And even in the nonsensical, the fantastical, there's always some element of relatability that makes it live in the moment. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Shays has done, for which we are extraordinarily grateful, is to open up their Curtain Up series to include Black theater.
Yeah.
It's an intentional move to diversify. And it is an iconic show. It's a show, first of all, that's going to put butts in the seats, right? Because it can be meaningful, it can be all these things, but if no one's going to come see it,
get your tickets for Dreamgirls.
Hello. No, hurry up, no. Because we've already sold out tonight. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Whoa. Boom, boom.
So, there's a sold. Oh,
so we'll start. We'll start.
I should have known that. I was at the meeting the other day.
Get your tickets,
Ken. Yes.
I know.
So, I say it all the time. It's my mantra. Get your calendar, get your crew, get your tickets. But so that for what's happening with women in our society, there's a lot in it in that way. And then for the whole issue of appropriation of music, because one of the scenes, one of the songs, it's hilarious to me. Because I'm a classically trained singer, so that got me a cat. Love that. I love the humor of it, but the black story behind it, no pun intended, is that forever, even to this present day, people will steal your music and treat it differently and give you no credit. And I've said it before in our cast announcement that it's playing out even in real time. There is a real time legal dispute between Dr. Rosephanie Powell and the Indiana Bible College because they produced a version of her "Let Everything That Hath Breath," changed a few things, but it is still her piece. And the copyrights and the timestamps. That's one of the wonderful things about social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of says when you did it. So when you post it, yeah, that's when you did it, and that's when she did it. And they're both in the YouTube universe, so yeah, hers kind of came first by almost a decade or so.
Wow.
Yeah, so it opens up for those kinds of conversations.
Yeah.
And with so many of our kids who are, you know, doing their stuff and uploading it to streaming platforms, and they're doing the independent road, there's a lot in this for a number of demographics. So that is one, not to mention the score is just ridiculous.
Yeah, the music's incredible.
Oh man. So there's something in it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, you know, speaking of time and place, when we talk about these systems, and it's not just, it's, you know, people use this term of like white supremacy when you talk about appropriation, but there's also within our own communities, we fall into that system as well. And a lot of this show is about that too, is how do we, as our own black folks, how do we not keep going into a system that's not feeding us?
Correct.
Yeah. And what does that look like? And that includes women, you know, that includes people of color, underrepresented groups, you know, because it really could be anyone. I don't have money, I'm going to take advantage of you.
Right.
So the big guy can get it.
Right.
But then it also goes into, like, you know, can go into colorism. There's all these different dynamics that get fed into the storyline that black folks really, I think that talks about the complexities of black life and business, which is a little different, because business is already hard on its own.
Right.
And then you add being black to it.
Oh, yeah. Yep,
and then everybody's trying to get to the top.
Right.
You know, I think that complexity is also, you know, a foundation of Dreamgirls. On top of the fact that the music is amazing.
Yep.
I mean, it's not as uncommon as people think, but to, you know, a director, choreographer to come, you know, the original, the dancing is like bar none at the time. Incredible.
Yeah.
So to have that in a show you know, right now it's like we're not in that golden age. I think we're trying to go back to that era again in Broadway, but it's very rare that you have people that are really dancing and singing and hitting the step like that. Because for so long, like even, you know, even college programs are like, oh, you can sing, you don't need to really know how to dance. Go, but I'm just training leads.
Right.
And like the notion is like they don't have to dance.
Why leads don't either dance typically?
I mean, not in this era, not as much. It's like kind of come in, belt, sing your thing, and go. And that's just because people, you know, it's a quick, you know, I can get on YouTube, I can social media, here it is. Wow. And so then you have, it's kind of like, oh, here's a dancer that can kind of hold a note and sing.
But your point is back in the day, you had to have...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you better sing, dance, and act. I don't care what it was.
Even
if you look at Shuffle Along, but my babies was up there tapping if they was leads, too. It may not been that cute, but...
They were doing it.
You know what I mean? Everybody had to play a part in every single thing that makes musical theater. And I think... You know, we've been in the last few decades in a way of like, I'm gonna sing my face off. I'm gonna be like Cynthia Erivo. I don't need to learn how to hit the step because I'm not gonna be dancing because that's back there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But now it's like you can't do that.
And in that, we don't realize how much of our history we dismiss when we let those skill sets die.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Because I can think of one tap. No, excuse me, two. Two tap dancers that I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Yep.
And that's a shame.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And that's one of the biggest, I would say, dance forms that we're lacking now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's hard. And I'll also say tap, I think, is also one of the hardest, if not the hardest dance form, maybe next to, like, West African. But, you know, the rhythm, music, musicality, syncopation, all the stuff that you need. And Dreamgirls, although it's not tap, you still need that rhythm and syncopation
because
the band and the music, it's that call and response. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do one without the other. And so much of it is like, okay, come on, here's this big song. I'm going to sing. I'm going to get it out. And then everybody's going to come and clap. Like, everybody's waiting for that one moment now in a show as opposed to the whole experience of a show. And Dreamgirls is the experience of the show. And it's also part of that era, too.
Not to segue too much, but Karen, you brought up the band at our meeting. This band is kicking ass, right?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just the band alone, this is how I knew I paid attention at the meeting. Besides the cocktail discussion at the end. Is that there's people in this band that would come to the show because there's names in this band that how the hell these people get together. Is that right?
That's it.
I pay attention.
That's it.
When I knew we had Joey.
See, she's
on percussion. I was like,
I'm not making this shit up.
They do shows on their own.
Right.
And that people are going to see them on their own to do a show. So the fact that we can get them for the amount of time that we have like that, and our set design with Ron, shout out to Ron Schwartz.
Woo-hoo!
Our set design is amazing, and you know, the band will be on stage is kind of like that big band feel. Like, really, like, our goal for the show was to really keep the essence of the time period.
That's right.
So it's not like a contemporary version of a Dreamgirls. We are like the essence of what it is to really have that music and that dance and that acting is really going to be what you see on the stage. But to have that, I mean, it's like you're going back to like the Savoy nightclub and you get, you know, you're getting like those like Duke Ellington you know what I mean? And the performers.
All of the above.
We're so excited to have such a big band.
Yeah, stuck out to me is when you said that at the meeting the other day, the producer, and I was like, this is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
That's how you know, like, a production is being done with love. When, every component gets you dancing in your seat. Like, seeing your smiles as you talk about these folks, like, I can tell that they're just making you excited to come to work, as you brought up.
For sure.
Man. I mean, speaking of this, okay, so you guys are co-collaborators on this production. What do you find is typically your approach or technique when you are working on a show together?
Oh. Well, we have the anomaly of really thinking kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We think along the same lines. Without even discussing, if you get the answer from one of us,
it's more than likely the answer from the other.
And it's just, it's
I'm
going to
test this theory.
It has always been that way since we've been working together.
Yep.
9 times out of 10, we see things the same way. And when we don't, we respect each other's expertise enough that I can have thoughts about dance all day. You don't want to see a dance that I put in.
And it's so funny because we had an experience one time where I didn't like what I heard. And like, I've taken voice and stuff like that, so I know enough, but I don't know what she knows. But you don't know what you heard, if this what is if that was like, you know, maybe that was some little technique I didn't really know. And so I looked at her, I said, that's Is that not? She was like, no, it's not.
No, it's really
working. Yeah. Okay. No. And so we have that, but we, like I like to say, we asset build. So we work on what we are good at. Like, I know what my strengths are. That's she knows what her strengths are. Yep. And then we come together and say, okay, this is not working. This is working. Or like, sis, you got an idea? Because this is killing me right now. And even on a tap out series, like I can tell sometimes if we are with actors and like we're just getting exhausted because we're trying to get something, they're not getting there. You know what I mean? Like, okay, let's just kind of like flip and you do this, or we recognize with something like, okay, I need you to go work. Can we figure this out in the schedule? I need you to go work with this person a little bit more, or vice versa, or I need some more time, which is not easy to find, because when you get into those rooms, especially with this idea of director, people can take that as like a dictator or being like the only authoritarian in the room. And musicals absolutely 1000% cannot function that way.
No.
Like, I would never tell a musical director what to do, just like they wouldn't tell a choreographer. And even if it's a director, the notion in musicals is really the director's kind of giving the plot
vision
for everybody.
That's the vision. Yeah, that's right.
But everybody has to come with their A game to bring it. So even with like when we have production meetings, if it's Ron, if it's Diane, if it's Nick, whoever's in the room, I trust them. Like, once that's we say, this is what it is, and that's what it, like, Ron came in, we were like, this is kind of our idea, we want to kind of keep it. And it, the funny thing is, Ron and Diane almost came in with the exact same, not even, because we were clear about what we wanted. We wanted it to be of this period, and this is kind of what we wanted to bring to the table. So, for us, when you allow people to do their expertise, it always comes out better.
And I think, too, what the key to the, making that work is, we don't hire people whose work we haven't verified and whose work we trust.
Even if
we don't know them, we go back and we find out, okay, well, what else have they done?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So because it allows us to then say, okay, we had this schedule, because even working through the schedule, it's like, okay, sis, we need to do, I need such and such and such and such for music. Does that work for you? Okay, yeah, well, I can do such and so, and then we can, I love that kind of easy back and forth, because it's that we're both fully invested in the, not only in the project, but in the product. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're both fully, we have the common vision, like Naila just said, of what it is that we're building, of who it is that's building with us, so that the, oh, okay, well, Ron said he needs so-and-so, so might not be able to get, okay, well, let's see, okay, we'll figure that, we'll work with it. It's an easy, easy partnership for those reasons.
Wow. I think this is, like, such a great example of, like, when you are forming your team, at like trusting your people and like trusting your gut is so important, and I think it leads to so many forms of success. Like, that's really cool. I kind of didn't realize I this question popped in my head as you all were speaking. How did you guys meet?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know. That's been a long time. Well, our families are connected. And I think when, like, I came back to Buffalo, Lorna got me right away for Passing Strange.
Yes.
That's how we started working together, was with Passing Strange. So Lorna had called. She was like, listen, I know it might be a stretch, but would you want to come? And at the time, it was funny because I came back, but everyone just assumed I was working with all these people here. But when you come back from Buffalo and you're gone for a long time, Buffalo's out of sight, out of mind, and it's like you have to start all over again. Even doesn't matter what's on your resume. And so Lorna had given me a chance for my first show back in Buffalo after being away in New York and LA or whatever, and that's how we connected and we clicked like this. And it was me, Karen, and Lauren, and Lorna, and we put that show together.
And I was initially cast. She cast me as the mother in that show.
Aww.
But I was in a car accident and unable to finish the project. But from there on, every project we worked together, it was always that way, freaking crack.
Yep. Whoa. And so we did everything together after that. And so we just built.
But our first time directing together was Once on This Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Once on This Island.
Let me correct myself. We didn't direct together. I pushed her into directing that project. Because after all the different shifts and all the whatever things that happened, we were in the Zoom meeting, and the question came, well, Naila,
do you think you can direct it? I said, yes.
Yeah, she answered before she can.
She answered before I could. And I was like,
yep. The Zoom feed cut out for 5 seconds.
You all know when you prepare for a show and you're preparing in one light, it's a whole different ball game when you decide that you're going to direct, because now you have to take everybody into consideration. Yeah. It's not just kind of like your lane you have to focus on. So Karen was like, yep. And when I say we put that show up, and people don't believe us, but we put that show up in 8 days, I'm literally not exaggerating.
8 days? Yeah.
Yes, 8 days. We put the show up in 8 days. That's how much we had all these changes initially, like the whole creative team had changed. It was just a lot happening. And
started running it 3 weeks before it went up.
Yeah. In sec.
I had a friend in that cast, my friend Nick.
Yeah.
I just remember him telling me all about like the amazing work you guys did on that show. Like, I'm just like in awe.
Yeah, it's so funny because I think I was just telling the queue before we came here that, so, you know, sometimes people think, I don't know if they think we're mean, but we just don't play.
No.
And
wait, whoa. People think you're mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, because and
what?
And I wouldn't say not in like a crazy way, but like we just don't, like when we come into rehearsal, that's what it is.
Yeah, well, that's not wrong with that.
And we don't do divas, which is like why, like the
hear
thing.
That, Ken?
Like,
Dina.
I'm the first.
Wait,
hold on.
Dina.
There is something. What were we talking about? Where when the talent comes, they could put it in their thing, what they want in their dressing room.
A writer.
Yeah.
What would you put in yours?
Oh, like, nothing crazy.
See, that defeats the purpose of that
question.
Listen,
let me tell you, because I've had to deal, and I say that on the production, I've had to deal with people with writers, and I don't, to me, give me a place that's clean, I can be in and out, and that's it. I don't need Skittles, that's pink,
separate. You were talking about green M&M's.
You know what I mean? Like, that's,
I just want, like, if I would want, like, a water feature.
Yeah, it's,
like,
yeah.
Like a small, things, like, thing to de-stress me.
Yeah, like
me.
Tea, like, or something, you know what I mean? Those are common things, but when people start to get
out of
control.
I want, like,
control,
an outrageous one, though.
And that, well, I would say, like, with Karen, we...
Karen has an outrageous one?
No. We're on the same page. Like, we don't ask for much. We can get things done in terms of, like, making it minimal, but what we do ask for is excellence.
Yep.
So it's not requiring us yelling or anything like that. It's like, this is what we need to do to get done. We're gonna get it done, and then we can play after.
Right.
But you know what I mean? But we're not gonna go into the space and be like, you know, because we're not divas like that. So our expectation is that the actors aren't gonna be that either. But we also, with that being said, we also allow them to have input. You know what I mean? We're not people in the room that are like, no, you can't tell us.
Correct.
What you know, if an actor's like, I don't really feel, okay, well, let's try something else.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, well, do you think this is working for you, or it's not working for you?
Right.
Okay, let's just try to put it in. But Karen, I will say, we're very deliberate and intentional about how we run our rehearsals.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm.
And this is what we want to get done today. We're going to try to get it done, because we also don't like to waste people's time. For us, even us, we're like, all right, well, how can we get a reading in a little bit early? So when we start one day one with music, because it's a lot of music, I need to give Karen 3 days so she can get through the music, because we want the cast to also feel comfortable.
Yep.
And so people don't really know how to kind of function with that, because everyone runs a rehearsal studio
different.
Right. And they know, I don't, if it's coming on stage, because I will change anything. If it looks crazy and you look crazy, it will be changed.
Period.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, we have to get stuff done, because for us, we also want to be respectful of our designers and our technicians,
because
we also don't want to be doing a ton of work when we're getting in the theater, because that takes away from their time.
Yeah.
It creates people going over budget because they're overtime and all that other stuff, which certain things happen by nature because it's just live theater. But yeah, that's kind of our placeholder, is that we don't play on the queue always last, because our daughters are always like, they don't play.
And if it consistently doesn't work, we will thank you for your time and find someone who can make it work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about, like, I know this person, I know that person.
You don't do that.
You have to come to the table, and everybody has to be to be there.
I'm hearing you're setting a standard,
absolutely,
and you're setting a bar. And
absolutely,
I think that Buffalo can always benefit from folks hitting new standards, hitting new bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, I mean, you know, when you are prepared, when you do set that bar, then there is more room to play.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's our goal at Sorry Saxon
absolutely
production, is because we found, you know, that is a void here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a favoritism, and that favoritism doesn't happen in every world, but Buffalo specifically, because it's already small and it's kind of that, like, everybody's best friend's neighbor and all that kind of stuff. It's like, okay, but if you're trying to get to the next level, like, Karen and I have been there.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to roll like that.
like you have to be able to bring your best. Like I don't care that you did a show,
right?
And everybody loves you because you're always cast in someone's show,
right. Sure,
and I've seen you 15 million times, right? Like it.
What's your skill set?
What's your skill set? And what are you going to bring to this?
That's right.
And we know that everybody's talent. Like for us, it's like we rather work with people that have a talent, even if it's raw, mm-hmm. and build them because they have a passion and they're good with people and they love to be in the room and
sure.
they want to help one another
and
they will do the work over somebody that came in and was like, oh, they were just in this show, they're so great, and mm-hmm. we're just gonna like, no, that's not gonna mm-hmm. work. Because we can, that's one thing about us being teachers, is that if we need to do that, mm-hmm. we can also build them up to get where they need to be.
And we leave some room for that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We do. We leave some room for that too, because we understand that part of our responsibility as educators and community builders is to find and bring up that next generation.
Yeah. Harness
sure.
it.
And mm-hmm. absolutely. Harness it and prune it and fertilize it and water it and mm-hmm. present
yeah.
all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that.
I would say this makes me so excited.
I'm just so fired up. Just
and I have to say, this is for Dreamgirls, is that this cast ultimately, like you'll see some kind of people that be like, oh, okay, I know Jordan, I've seen yeah. John. Like you see a couple mm-hmm. of them, but I will say this cast is going to be very new for Buffalo.
Absolutely,
I'm so excited. I had my Absolutely. Friend Deja.
Yeah, yeah. One of those people yes, yes. Right? That like is kind of like newer in the scene. Aww. Girl can
What's
sing.
What's up, Deja?
Oh hey, Deja. Girl can sing, and we were like, we can, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like you can do it. And I'll be honest with you, Effie is a hard.
Oh,
Effie
yeah.
and a Curtis is like,
yeah,
very hard to find
yeah.
because it's specific.
Yep.
The songs are very difficult
yep.
to sing. All the Dreams, the songs are difficult to sing.
And on that end, again, speaking to the skill point, it is very easy, especially for our folks, to figure they can just show up, belt, and they got it. No.
Mm-hmm.
I actually need you to understand where the big songs are
mm-hmm.
and why they're big
mm-hmm.
and how to build it from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's not just, I'm going to holler a little bit here and I'm going to
no. Right. And no, I'm not going to not give you movement because you right. know, song is too hard.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sure you guys are clocking this as well, and this is something, you know, we had to think about in casting a lot. It's not only can you belt it in a healthy way, 8 times
Thank
a
you.
Week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank
yep.
you for saying that.
Yes. Got you.
Oh, and that's the as a vocal teacher, that is huge mm-hmm. to me. The like you said, not only belting but safe belting. But there are so many where to belt and when and how often, because there's wow. so many other improvisational tools that can get you around it without stripping from the integrity of the moment.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of, like, there's been a conversation online a lot, like in the actor mm-hmm. space, of like, you don't need to ref every single note.
Oh, yes.
You
know? We could, that
like,
could stop.
Yeah, like, I'm going to sing what's on the page. And
yeah.
if it's emotionally motivated
yeah.
to do it, maybe.
Right.
Right.
But, like, there's...
Right, but you don't yeah. need it every phrase.
Wait, Julia,
right.
what's that? What does that mean? Riff?
So a riff is like, so like, let's say the note it's like written as like a, like you're singing this note right here or whatever. Instead, they're going, you're singing this note right. Like it's
oh,
like all
yeah.
over the place.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
like I, that was a bad
is
that, example.
Is it like a popular thing?
It's like, but you know, like Ariana, yeah. like I don't want to say Ariana Grande, but like
remember when Kiki Palmer?
Was yes.
Like, I
yes.
thought I was gonna lose because well,
that's yeah, yeah. It's
like you know. This is better when Wicked, like the alphabet goes.
Yeah, is that
that's
why it's
already
so, is that why it's so fucking popular?
And then people no, have been like, some actors who don't like have the like, who think they have to add
yeah.
more.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, like instead of going or whatever, they'll do like like crazy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And the hell's not, going on?
Point is like, what is going
For
on?
What?
Yes. Like, why are you?
Yeah.
And also, don't do it. Karen always says this, like, and I'll just use Deja as an example. Deja is not Jennifer Holliday.
Right. And we don't want her to be Jennifer
right.
Holliday.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I could do without the acting. Love Jennifer Holliday.
And if Jennifer
no shame,
Holliday
no
was who we wanted,
wow.
we'd go higher. Jennifer Holliday.
She's right. coming in November. I don't know if anyone saw that. Seneca Jennifer Holliday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Was she is she in the movie or the show or the play?
She's the original Effie in Dreamgirls. But because she won a Tony and she's has such a big voice. Like, she's one of those people, like, you know, David Foster was like, when he came in to record, she's like, I only sing this once. And that's true. Yeah. She will sing it. And I'm going to tell you, only once.
That's a diva.
But that's how she sings it. That's not necessarily how it's written.
Is she riffing? Now I'm gonna like.
She gives it to, you know, whatever higher power she. I mean, she lets it go.
She's a star, but like.
But where we are in this time, and our dreams are actually like age-wise appropriate. Because most people, when they see in the show, the dreams are not 50 years old.
Right. I remember when
I'm not being shit now, but you know,
these guys are too
dead. The dreams should be collecting social security.
But a lot of people do that because to your point about vocal stacking, it's a very difficult show, and so there's a lot of people that are just more that are older, more mature in their vocal that they tend to cast people that are high. Mm. But we are actually casting according to the real age in the script.
We have young, like
20s, right. And you know,
they're
in the
super
script.
Talented.
Yes, they are. Yeah, and this will be a difficult show, I think, for them in that way, because it's always been seen as a mature show. Like, when you're talking about, like, Cheryl Lee Ralph, Jennifer Holliday.
I wonder why.
It's like, they weren't babies doing that show.
But why? Why are we casting them that and not...
Money.
Right. And a lot of times, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go.
A lot of times, and I've noticed it in like, especially the film productions of musicals of late, they're going for big names that put butts in the seats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm a purist at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What is the story? What does the story need?
Okay.
So so the biggest challenge to our cast is stop watching the movie.
Mm. Period.
Don't listen to the soundtrack. Once we're in the rehearsal, because what happens is you take in what they've done, and what they did was great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's also them.
Right.
That's not the story we're telling. I charge the band the same way.
Mm.
Yeah, we need to make sure that we're in, you know, that we're in the same bar, in the same key. But no, what's our flavor? What are we putting on it? You know what I mean? So a lot of times, that's where a lot of that, all that stylizing and riffing.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite examples of that was casting Jennifer Hudson as Celie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, Suge.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I mean, she's an amazing singer.
Right.
There's nothing Jennifer Hudson can't sing. So let's just do that. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know if I'd have made the same choice acting-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it has nothing to do with her qualifications.
Sure.
Duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. She can do it, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a lot of times those decisions, I'm just going to put it out there and hope Shays will let me continue to work with them. It's what happens when you put business people in charge of budgets with no arts experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Yeah, and that's what Broadway really has become. I mean, like, you can't even stay on more than 2 weeks before they're like, nope, going on tour, I need to recoup my money because we're losing money now. Or what star can I get in to get in for a few weeks so we can start to bring
some kids, right?
And to be clear, that in and of itself is not the problem. Get the right person to do it.
Yeah. Right, sure. Right. Use the money. In the way that it should be used.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you've got folks at every level of experience who can bring the house down and do it in the way that's best for the project.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have the right people in the right places making those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I mean, kind of the tangent off this, like, could you guys talk a little bit about your cast and the audition process? Because we're really excited to welcome them in and let folks hear what we got a snippet of at the gala.
Oh, yeah. And that was only like a few minutes, like maybe not even like an hour.
It was money.
And they were like, I remember Brian Higgins looked at me, he was like, that's it? And I was like, well, we have a whole show. So we can't.
Spoil it all.
you know, we can't have them outsing everything.
You guys turned that around quick, I remember.
Yeah,
it's we all looked at each other after the cast announcement and we're like, oh shit, they gotta sing at the gala.
Yeah. What's crazy is like the rehearsal process is difficult. The audition process is also difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the audition process is difficult because for us, they come in and they sing, you know, they act, you know, and, you know, we dance as well. But you really don't know people until they get into the rehearsal process and they start to work with people.
Right.
And, you know, it could sound great, mm-hmm. and then you realize, like, ooh, you can't really harmonize like that. Like, you're okay when I give it to you, but, like, can we do 20 songs?
Right.
Like, do we have all this time?
Right.
And that's always kind of the crapshoot that you have. So I will say a lot of our actors are really trained in certain ways. And for us, this may be one of the few shows I've seen in Buffalo that has dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dancers. That harmonize.
I love it.
And it's funny because there's a couple of dancers that were in the show that, like, they were like, they never in a day in their life thought that they would sing. But for us, it was like, oh, you can hold your part.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No problem.
Guess what?
Right. Yeah. Because one thing that I will always say, and this is me, like, with my background in dance, I'm really tired of seeing shows where we are just step touching and we don't want to give dancers a shot because we rather have the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, like, let's work with people that, yeah, they can have a voice because we need their parts, but let's not make that the only focus because
that's
I also visually want to see something, too, that I'm not, that I don't feel like in the audience I feel like I can do.
Right.
You know, and I think we have to bring dance back, which is what Dreamgirls is, you know, like, you've originally a dancer director that's coming together to choreograph and put this show together. That has to be just as magnificent as the singing is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that was important for us, too. It's like, so you might have some people that are like, they may not be rocking the vocals like a Jennifer Holliday or something,
But if they can hold their part in the harmony, okay, thanks.
And hit the step, okay?
And hit the step, yep.
And, like, to kind of add on that, when you give an ensemble, like, the full ability to have, a big dance show, like, there's so much storytelling that happens in choreography.
Yes.
That, like, you might not gleam if there isn't a big, if you don't do the choreography the way it's supposed to be done in the show.
Like, yes. And it's funny you say that because George Brown and I, we just had a conversation because he had just done a show called The Goddess of Musical in New York City with my friend Darrell Graham Moultrie, who choreographed.
Oh my gosh.
And he it was like crazy because I told him we were friends, but then we reached people and they're like, oh yeah, no, that's really like my friend. He's like, oh my God. But the conversation we had was he talked about transitions and he was like, I didn't realize how much choreography were the transitions.
Yes.
In the show, because that was a heavy dance show that he was in. Because so often now, with a lot of musicals that are written, it's kind of like one thing, then the next, and then one thing, and then here's your dance break, and then go to the next, and then go to the next, and here's your dance break.
Right.
Goddess was really built where, like, the transitions was everybody had to be included to make this kind of magical world, which is a lot like Dreamgirls was kind of built to do too. So he said that he was like, I'm so appreciative of that. And I think we don't appreciate the choreography in these musicals as much because it's just been like, here's your opening number.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's our final number.
When really it can do so much more storytelling.
Yes. Yeah. And it's different. And there's always that conversation of like, is this blocking? Is this choreography?
Uh-huh.
And I think it's both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's those moments where you clearly need to block because I need to get this across because I'm acting, and then there's these moments where I'm like, this needs to transition a little cleaner, and it can't be so choppy, you know. And so then, it's, in my opinion, both choreographer and director have to work together.
Yep,
for sure.
You guys kind of touched on this a little bit, and then I'd love to get into rapid fire because this conversation's just been like flying by, and it's been lovely. So what does it mean for both of you to lead this production as women, and how do you hope your work inspires other women in theater, especially women of color? That's a big question.
I think it's the combination of tribute and responsibility. Tribute to the educators and community investors that have trusted us and shaped us up until this point. Everywhere I go, I carry with me Donald Hilliard, Alfred R. Jarrett, Lorna C. Hill, Burlene Shumpert, that's my grandma, my mama, who's also in the pit, by the way.
What, she is?
Yes. Her mom's an amazing pianist.
Oh, my God.
Incredible, can play anything.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, and that's huge to me because not, and it's not nepotism in that way. no, really, my mother is freaking phenomenal. She's that girl on the keys.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. this is her music. So there's an element of authenticity that she's going to bring to the project that I can get near it mm-hmm. because I'm adjacent, but this is her generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's also... So in tribute in that way, but also responsibility to do it at the highest level possible because there are other people watching us.
Mm-hmm.
Because as arts entrepreneurs now, as arts professionals, as arts educators, we really want to end the perception that you can start today, watch YouTube tutorials for 2 weeks, and be sweet.
Yeah. It's a very good lesson for right now.
Yeah. We really need to have people understand that just like anything you, and it's not just this, anything that you want to be good at, anything you want to be excellent at, you have to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. You have to be tenacious enough to walk through the steps when you do it right and when you mess up some. There are instrumentalists in that pit whose feet I can sit and learn at.
Huh. Mm.
I love it. So can I name them?
Yes.
Name them.
So, the band?
Oh, the band.
Hell yeah, that's what I thought you were going to do earlier.
We have the original Once on This Island quintuplet,
ooh.
Right? So myself, my mom, Preston Brown on the drums.
Ooh, that's amazing. Preston's amazing.
Joey Gonzalez yep. on auxiliary ooh. Percussion.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Tone Cummings on bass.
Yes.
That alone is a nasty combination. When you add to them Dr. Mark Filsinger on trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Rick Fleming.
Who's my colleague? Hey, Rick. He's our colleague. He's our colleague at Buff State.
And we walking through Buff State as well. Mr. Corey Talford on trumpet. The fabulous, I'm borrowing your word, the fabulous Incontro. Matt Incontro and Craig Incontro. Russ Carreri. I think I'm forgetting one. Because I'm excited. But that combination, I can't wait. I'm like, can we hurry up and get done with the rehearsals? Because I want to hear the band.
They're so good.
This is crazy.
And I think for the Buffalo community, we just don't have access to see a lot of our shows.
Yep.
We don't get to see a lot of black theater, especially musicals, because musicals are expensive. And so it's a hard investment to get up. And so for me... And I know, Karen, this is important for Karen, too. We want to be able to have our community and people that don't have access to theater and musical theater, particularly in their schools and in their programs, to say, I want to do that and be inspired.
Yeah.
That's on the responsibility, too.
That's exactly. Because, like, how often do we get to see a black Broadway show?
Yeah.
Right.
It seems few and far between.
Though. Yeah. And you know, it's difficult because there's this stigma behind it. It's like, oh, we just gonna have black folks come up and sing.
That part.
Like that's like most people want to see it because it's like, oh, we want to see some black people singing. And it's like that we are storytellers,
right?
Like
what's the
as our foundation.
Yeah, that's right.
And what does that look like to be a consummate actor and musician and performer and artist and have an incredible team? And we can do this in Buffalo, and we need to keep doing it. And so that's kind of our goal here, is to get the community to come out, to get different sponsors.
Right.
Corporate folks to invest in the arts, because that's, you know, that's my other hat of like in terms of like, you know, foundations, nonprofits, raising money. How can we keep building the arts and culturals here in Buffalo, New York, and get people to invest in it the same way they invest in tech, the same way they invest in healthcare?
Yeah.
Because to me, this is a healing just like that is.
Absolutely.
And I always say for 2 hours, we get let people forget about their problems and take their stress away. I might not be a physician, but if I can get you to forget about the stress that's going on in your life and to make you think differently or to see things differently, and you can even go further like environmental or climate, whatever the story is, to make you change your perspective to run your life different, that is impactful.
And from a non-theater person, because I didn't know, I knew very little about theater before I started working here a year ago. What show did we see?
We saw Ain't Too Proud.
like, I forgot about everything.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about.
And I was
you will come out and almost forgive the person you can't stand.
Holy shit, I was. I was like.
You were blown away.
I was tapping and dancing. I was like watching the movie. I was just, and I knew nothing. I was, to your point about healing and just forgetting about this is coming, this is a non-biased, what do you call it? You know, opinion here, recommended. Yeah, this is true. Yeah. It's so true. People forget that. So thank you for saying that. That's absolutely. So true.
I'm leaving this conversation thinking about tribute and responsibility, like such a wonderful lens for theater.
Yeah.
Oh no, I was turning towards you.
Juliana and I are sharing a mic today. She's the best. All right, I'm gonna do a quick rapid fire round, and then I guess I should let you guys go enjoy the rest of your days.
We're going out.
Oh yeah, I mean
party.
We're going out after this.
Party.
I texted Brian. Thanks, Brian.
Shout out to B. All right, quick fire round. Favorite Dreamgirls number to stage?
Ooh.
That's a hard one. Oh, man. You know what? No, for me, it's the opening number.
Nice.
Yeah. I would say that, too.
What's the one that you guys sang at the gala?
Dreamgirls.
That's not the opening?
No, that's like the most, that's like one of the most common comments.
Okay, sorry, that was a new one.
But
that was after, I'm not even sure if it was in Act 2. But it's.
Well, I'll find out when I go see it.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
opening. Yeah, because it's rapid fire, because it's constantly moving.
Yeah,
it is. And as an expert, I want to see how easy we make it look.
Yeah, because it is very difficult. Cause what people don't know, the beginning part of Dreamgirls, you're kind of like, am I in it? Is it are we backstage? Are we on stage? Like, what is happening?
And the answer is yes.
Yeah, because there's things happening backstage, but simultaneously there's a talent show happening at the same time. So it's one of those. So artistically, it's actually a very difficult scene to stage. And musically, it's all over the place.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to see it. Who are you feeling most like today? Effie, Dina, or Laurel?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a hard one.
We know Ken's feeling like Dina.
What?
Ken is
Dina. Is she a diva?
Dina's Dina today.
Is Dina a diva?
Dina's a diva, as are you.
I'm a little Laurel today. I'm a little like laid back. Like I'm kind of just like I'm
Jones here.
Like I'm here.
That's not bad though. It's good vibes. I mean, we have good vibes in here then.
Yeah, it's a party.
Yeah, Laurel gets her courage later. But
you know,
she...
I think I'm always feeling somewhat like Effie. I'll say a polished Effie because I will give you my professional productive front, but somewhere beneath the layers. The little girl that was born and raised in the projects is just looking for a reason.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm dead. Andy, you can't. I gotta end it there after that. I know, that was amazing.
More nerve-wracking, first rehearsal or opening night?
Opening night.
Okay.
One word to describe this cast.
Ooh.
Fire.
Yeah.
Fire.
And ambitious.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Because for some of them, this will be the first time that they see. Yeah. And you can, you know, it's like enough of that fear in them that you're like,
this cast is
ready to go. To bring that fire. Yeah.
They're hungry.
Hungry. Yeah, hungry.
They're hungry. Hungry. Hungry is it.
Yep.
Agreed.
So check out this cast before they break into the world.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Before at all. Best backstage snack.
Oh, I used to always love the watermelon Sour Patch.
That's what Rachel said.
That's the best one.
That's the best one.
Can't go wrong with the Sour Patch. Karen gonna say something about the you know her Manuka honey. Oh. great grapefruit.
Yeah. Sweet.
Oh.
So I was thinking. I was.
Not me, girl. Sour Patch, okay?
So well you know each other.
We can't have any product placement. Now Sour Patch has to sponsor the DM show.
We
ain't doing no free product placements on this. This ain't no free ride.
during the production of Crowns, which we did together, we discovered, I forget who it was. I want to say it was Danielle Green, hey baby, who introduced us to, there was a tea, a ginger honey tea from one of the Chinese restaurants over there and of course I had my Manuka honey with it, because
yeah. I love green tea. Uh-huh. Jimmy Early or Curtis Taylor Jr.?
Ooh, they both a mess. but you know,
Jimmy.
I was gonna say it's a Jimmy. It's a Jimmy because Jimmy is hilarious. Yep. And is just all over the place.
Yep.
And gives you everything you need for that relief at Jimmy. Uh-huh.
Because he wears it on his sleeve, man. It right. is what it is.
But we love you, George.
That's right.
What is the most underrated song in the show, in your opinion?
Ooh.
I Am Changing.
Yep, I was going to say that. I'm changing.
Because everybody thinks that And I'm Telling You is the big number.
Right.
And it's really not. Huh? It's not. It's the big number of the first half. The big number of the show, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is I Am Changing. Because it takes her all this time to figure out that she does not have to be, that she needs agency in her own mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. And if she embraces it, she can actually step in and change her trajectory.
And acting wise, I think that's a more difficult song
yeah.
to do because of a heartbreak.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? You can get in your pit with anger.
Right.
It's a little difficult to get that feeling of like of courage
yep.
to yeah. be better, to like really take that step out. And do it.
Right.
I think that's also a hard emotion for people, for humans in general, mm. yep. to tap into.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's vocally very difficult, too.
Yes.
So everyone keep your ears and eyes ready when you see the show for I Am Changing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, thank you so,
I'm so
much.
I'm so excited. We got to do more. We got to do a live recording at one of the shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Space. Oh, yeah. We absolutely.
We'll come up with more stuff.
Rehearsal.
Yeah,
please. Do something. Dress rehearsal. Preview.
Oh, God.
We're going to find many reasons to bother you again.
Oh, yeah. This is
so fun.
We come hang.
It went by fast. It was fun. I learned so much.
This was fabulous. Holy. Thank you guys so
thank
much.
You. Oh, thank you.
So, folks, again, these are the ladies behind Ansari Saxon Productions. So check them out on social media and check out Dreamgirls. Don't miss it. Some quick campus shout outs. Disney's Beauty and the Beast, a special engagement sponsored by Gallagher of the Five Star Bank season, will be August 20th to the 24th. Tickets are on sale now for Dreamgirls.
Woo! Woo! Oh, selling fast.
And Ansari Saxon and Shea 710 production. September 10th to the 28th, get your tickets. There's already a performance sold out. Be sure to keep up with us on social media, on Shays Buffalo social pages, or at shays.org. We'll see you at the next party. Ken, can you play us out, please?
Yeah, sure.
Cast Party is presented by Shays Performing Arts Center.
Produced by Cassandra Lippert, Ken Lazuski, myself, Juliana Tracy, and Rita Siriani.
Theme song by John Michael Ogletree.
Audio mixing by Dave Lenhart.
Logo and graphics designed by Acacia Crozier.
Marketing and social media by Bridget Neeson.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to Shays Performing Arts Center Presents Cast Party, wherever exceptional podcasts are downloaded.
Or visit us at shays.org.
Bye-bye.